He did the same with a chalice of wine. And he said, all of you drink of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which shall be shed for you. The first Mass began on Holy Thursday night, and the body died, and the blood was shed the next day. Everything that took place between Holy Thursday night, the scourging, the crowning with thorns, the mockery, the carrying of the cross, the nailing to the cross, all of that was the first Mass. No wonder, as we said in the first part of this meditation, the Mass provides us with the graces we live, pardon me, with the graces we need to live lives of sacrifice, so that like our Master, we too will be able to be scourged and crowned with thorns and mocked and carry our cross to Calvary and be nailed to our cross as he was nailed to his. And my friends, this is not poetry. This is reality. In both cases, Jesus told his disciples to be nourished on what he was given them. Eat, he said, and drink. After having changed what had been bread into his body and what had been wine into his blood. Moreover, his injunction, as before, with the institution of the Mass, was to do what he had done. He told his apostles to continue doing this. If he hadn't said this, we wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be a Catholic Church. And this is the crisis in the Catholic Church. Faith in the priesthood. Faith in the fact that very human men on Holy Thursday night were ordained and enabled both themselves and ordain others to carry on what Christ had done on the night before he died. We're still on part two of our meditation. Reception of Holy Communion. Century before, Pope Pius X, St. Ignatius of Antioch, died 107 AD, was one of the prime movers in promoting the frequent reception of Holy Communion. There is no more salutary amendment of life than a retreat can produce. There is nothing I can share with you during these days of the retreat that is more valuable for amending your lives, as I sure need a constant amendment of my life. You're all sinners. There is nothing, I repeat, more salutary than the resolution during this retreat to assist at Mass and receive our Lord in Holy Communion every day. And the very fact that in so many places, may God enlighten and forgive them. Mass is not being offered. What a safe statement, as reverently as it should. The histrionics that some priests go through in celebrating the august sacrifice of Calvary in reenacting Christ's death on the cross by offering the sacrifice of the Mass. But whatever decision you make during this retreat, no matter what adjustment you may have to make in your life, make them. Get to Mass and Communion, if it is humanly possible, every day. And if you want a motive, and I could not give you a better one, assist at Mass and receive Holy Communion to obtain graces for bishops and priests throughout the world, and especially in our own country. God knows bishops and priests need to amend their lives. Pray for us. We need your lives of sacrifice joined with Christ's sacrifice of the Mass offered every time that Mass is said. One quotation from one saint regarding Holy Communion. This one is from Teresa of Avila. Whenever I approach the altar for communion and remembered that exceeding great majesty which I have seen and considered that it was He in the most holy sacrament and that the Lord was often pleased that I should see Him in the host, my hair would stand on end and I would feel completely annihilated. Oh, my Lord, if you did not cloak your greatness, who would dare to come so often to the union of such foulness and wretchedness with such great majesty? Then memorize this statement of St. Pius X. One short sentence. Holy Communion is the shortest and surest way to heaven. Unquote. St. Pius X. Holy Communion is the shortest and surest way to heaven. We continue part 3 of our prolonged meditation. Christ's institution of the real peasants. I reserve our meditation of the real peasants after reflecting on the Mass and Holy Communion. Yet, the real peasants is logically prior to the Eucharistic sacrifice and communion. The reason is that Christ must first be really present on earth in the Eucharist before we can intelligently speak of His offering Himself in the Mass and coming to us in communion. No real presence, there's no real Mass. No real presence, there's no real communion. Our focus here, as before, is on the institution of the real presence. We mean that what Christ did, past tense, what Christ did at the Last Supper, He now is doing every time that Mass is offered. Why? Because on Holy Thursday, He ordained the apostles as priests and thus gave them a share in His own power of transubstantiation. What had been bread and wine became the body and blood of Christ. How? By the words of consecration. I repeat the question, but change the tense of the verb. What had been bread and wine not only became, but now becomes the body and blood of Christ. As Father Luther was vesting for benediction last night, we looked around and we found how happy I was. He found a cope, a real cope, you know, that the priest used to wear for benediction, for the benediction that used to be given to the people. He kept looking, and he found a veil. I was so happy. Told Father Luther, this is a good sacristy. There are not many sacristies that I have offered Mass in or wanted to give benediction to the people with copes anymore in the sacristy or with veils for giving benediction. Everybody now handles the living body of Jesus Christ. If angels could weep, they would. God help the church unless we recover our faith in the real presence. As one nun told me, Father, I don't get it. There I see you at the altar. Reverently. Holding the Blessed Sacrament. And as long as I die, I will always fold my fingers after consecration. I don't get it, she said. Now, women go to the tabernacle, take out hosts, put them into a handkerchief, and stuff it into their pocket. And in case they have a supper to cook, or take the Blessed Sacrament to the kitchen and leave Jesus Christ among the debris of kitchen utensils. Pray for bishops. Oh, what language I could use, what names I could identify. but blasphemous desecrations of the Holy Eucharist I could describe. So we ask ourselves, what is the real presence? The most authoritative teaching on the real presence is a solemn definition, therefore infallible truth, of the Council of Trent. I quote, "The body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained in the sacrament of the Most Holy Eucharist." Unquote. A solemn definition. What is the Church saying? She is saying of the same identical Jesus who was conceived in his mother's womb at Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, crucified on Calvary, who rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, and ascended into heaven on Ascension Thursday. This same Jesus, the whole Christ, the Latin text of the definition is Totus Christus, the whole Christ, is now contained. Why the verb contained? Because within the space, circumference of what had been a piece of bread is now contained. Jesus Christ and on earth. A woman is being buried in Detroit today. I had planned to offer Mass for her on the day of her funeral, which is today. But I postponed her Mass till tomorrow. Is my Mass today. It'll be for you and your families. In a coma. Seems to see nothing, hear nothing, feel nothing, but alive. She had been for years, as far as her children knew, 9 children, a daily communicant all her life. So I went to the hospital and tried to give her Holy Communion. Well, she wasn't conscious. I got the nurse. With the help of the nurse, she managed to open her mouth just enough so I could put a small particle of the Holy Eucharist on her tongue. I'll never forget that little particle on her tongue, for the nurse pulled out the instrument that opened her mouth. That was her last Holy Communion. And as long as a person is alive, graces are conferred on every living human being, provided the person is, as she surely was, in the state of grace. If we asked, what is the real presence? Our next question is, why? It is not hard to see why Christ is now on earth in the fullness of his humanity. And my manuscript underlines the word humanity. Of course, with his divinity. He promised to be with us all days, even to the end of the world. He wanted us to profess our faith in His incarnation, our hope in His omnipotence as the incarnate God, and as our love for Him, the Creator, who became a man and who now dwells in our midst, no less truly, though invisibly to our bodily eyes, than He lived visibly among His contemporaries in first century Palestine. I mean this, my single most fervent prayer for all of you as the fruit of this retreat is that you will all, by the grace of God, leave the retreat with a deeper, stronger, clearer faith in Christ's real presence than you've ever had before. Once your faith becomes enlightened on who is on earth, your lives are changed. We have one more question. How to respond to Christ's real presence? We commonly and correctly speak of the Eucharistic adoration. We should. Because in the Eucharist, His presence, as we said, the whole Christ, the incarnate Son of the living God. During His visible stay on earth, by the way, never use this expression, when Christ was on earth. Never say that. Because without realizing, that's heresy. You never use the past tense, when Christ was on earth. No. When Christ was on earth visibly. All right. Now you're talking like a Catholic. During His visible stay on earth, He received the adoration of those who believed in Him. What do they believe? They believed that the one who looked like a man, spoke like a man, was really the living God. That's what Thomas did remember a week after Christ's resurrection. He saw a man. And with the wounds still in his hands and feet and open side. And must have been a big opening in the side if Thomas was told he could put his hand into the side. And those wounds will remain in heaven for all eternity. So what did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. Which we should say every time we assist at Mass and witness the elevation. We believe it is the same Jesus Christ now present in the Eucharist. What do we see? Only what looks like bread and tastes like wine. What do we believe? They believe this is no longer bread and wine, but Jesus Christ, the man who received His humanity from His mother Mary, but who is the second person of the Trinity who existed from all eternity. The Eucharist began in the womb of Mary. Except for her, He couldn't have said at the Last Supper, this is my body. He wouldn't have had a body This is my blood. He wouldn't have had any blood. Adoration, therefore, is the primary response of our faith in the real presence. May I ask, can I go over? But this is only the foundation of how we should respond to the real presence. Adoration, by all means. Adoration of what looks like bread, what we know is a living man, and faith further tells us, and behind that man is the living God. On this worship of adoration, we should build the whole edifice of the spiritual life. This, by the way, is the explicit directive I received from the present Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, to the 4 hours that I spent in conversation with his private secretary. Restore faith in the real presence in the United States. Because the Holy Father sincerely believes without the restoration of faith in the real presence, as I can now safely say, the days of America are numbered. Sodom and Gomorrah were only 2 cities, and they were wiped out. Our country is a large nation. How God would wipe out our nation is left to His own infinite wisdom. Our country cannot survive on the massive rejection of God in our country. What then should be our response to this real presence? We should tell our Lord in the Holy Eucharist our love for Him, because that's why He's on earth, as a proof of His love for us. That's why He's near us, so we might be near to Him. If we love someone, nearness, physical proximity, is the obvious human way of manifesting our affection. Come nearer. We embrace those whom we love. What should be our response to the real presence? We should come to Him and ask Him for what we need, because He promised to give us everything that we ask for in His name, and He's here. We should talk with Him and remember Christ in the Holy Eucharist has a human body with human eyes, human ears, honest. That's why He's here, He wants us to be present too. By communicating with Him our deepest thoughts and receiving from Him the illumination and the inspiration that only He can give. Only God knows the hours I've spent before the Blessed Sacrament, where I knew no human power could sustain me. Why is He here? You should not hesitate to ask Him to work miracles now, as He did perform wonders during His visible stay in Palestine. All it takes is faith on our part. Faith in His incarnation, faith in His real presence, and faith in His power to do what is humanly impossible. That's what a miracle is. God working the humanly impossible. As the angel told Our Lady at the Incarnation. And remember the woman bleeding for some 12 years? Doctors couldn't help her. She managed to somehow crawl through the crowd, pulled on Christ's tunic, and He said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, "Master, who touched you?" They're shoving, they're pushing. "No, I know somebody touched me. Hear it. Because I felt power going out from me." That's why He's here. He wants power to go out from Him. But then He complimented the woman. "It is your faith that has healed you." And my dear friends in Christ, the greatest miracle that God needs to work is not the healing of human bodies. It is the healing of souls estranged from God, rejecting God, living lives of sin. It will take a global miracle to convert the abortionists of the world, murderers, men behind the women, and the women murdering. The lowest figure is 65 million murders committed by women throughout the world every year. A few quotations from the saints. This is a long one, but I think it is worth quoting. From St. Alphonsus Liguori. "The frequent visits to Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the altar are a great help to the souls that love Him. If He were to come to your church once a year and remain for only a single day, surely all would contend with one another in paying homage to Him and remaining in His loving company. And will you leave Him alone and visit Him so seldom, because in order to see you more frequently in His presence, in His goodness, He remains continually with you. Christ, I repeat, in the Holy Eucharist, is with the fullness of His humanity. He does not need faith to see us. We need faith to see Him. He wants to see us with Him as often and as long as possible. As Cardinal Sin wrote to his priest in Manila, "Our country would long ago have been taken over by the communists, except for the tens of thousands of Filipinos that in by now several hundred churches in the Philippines are begging our Lord in the Holy Eucharist to preserve our country and Christ's will." One closing sentence from the boy, Dominic Savio. Saint, of course, Dominic Savio. "I need nothing in this world in order to be happy. I only need to see Jesus in heaven, whom I now see and adore on the altar with the eyes of faith." Unquote, Dominic Savio. I won't apologize for the marathon meditation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.